I want to just talk today about being a conduit, okay? Now, because there's several things that are going on, because I know how the Lord has just operated in so many ways. But I just want to, as we're going to get here in John, we're going to get down to verse 19 in just a minute. But I want you to just look back here when there was in verse 5 of chapter 5, John. And there's a certain man who was there who had been sick 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him laying there, he said he'd already been there a long time. And in that condition, he said, "Do you wish to be made well?" Now, it's always amazing to me, but that is even has to be a question. Do you wish to be made well? But the reality is sometimes we have to examine our heart and understand, maybe am I really wanting to be made well, or am I just wanting to just wallow in my thing? Am I wanting to be made well, or am I just using this as an excuse so that I don't have to do something else? I mean, I can tell you that when I had my little jet ski accident, then I really, really wanted to be made well. I really, really wanted somebody to just come up and pray for me and make it all go away. Now, okay, but I didn't allow myself to just stay in that place, because for a little bit there I couldn't even walk, so I needed to just apply myself to what was there, and I started applying my faith into what was there, and walk with it until it happened, until something changed. And so all those things are part of what we can do, but we have to be honest with ourselves, because there are times when we're not looking to be made well. I've heard of people who just when somebody asks them, "Would you like prayer?" they just said, "No, no." I'm like, who doesn't want prayer? But not everybody wants to be made well. So it's a question. So the sick man answered, see, here's what the sick man said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answers, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but as I'm coming, another steps down before me." Did he say yes or did he say no? He actually just gave an excuse. He gave his excuse. In other words, instead of saying, "Yes, I want to be made well," or "No, don't just leave me here," he gave an excuse. "I have no man to put me into the water." And, you know, we read that, but we don't actually even think it out, because the reality is when you start thinking it out, how did he get there every day? He didn't live right there next to the pool. How did he go to the bathroom? He didn't stay there next to the pool all day, I can tell you. So he was getting transported somehow. Maybe somebody was dropping him off on their way to work. I don't know. But regardless of how he had some means of being motivated and being moved from place to place. And so his protestation that he was not, didn't have somebody to come, wasn't actually true. Because if it had been me, I'd have had them position me right on the edge. So as soon as that water started stirring up, as soon as that angel started showing up, I just roll right on in. I ain't playing with you, man. I'm just going to go right on in. And if I fall in accidentally once or twice, that's okay. There you go. So here's moment. See, Jesus says to him, "Arise, get up." In other words, get up and take your pallet and walk. And he took his pallet and he began to walk. Instantly, the Lord healed him. Now, a lot of times, see, one of the things that we don't understand as a background here, and you see it exemplified in John 9, verses 1 through 3, basically, they had a belief that if you were sick like that, that you were in sin. Because when they were talking to the blind man, they were speaking to him. And as they were speaking to the blind man, they asked, "Who sinned, this blind man or his parents?" But in other words, somebody had to have sinned for this guy to be born blind. Here, they had the same assumption. But what did Jesus answer them when he said, neither, but in this thing, I will need you to know that, it was neither he was or his parents that were sinning. That wasn't the issue. But what the issue was is that this is now an opportunity for God to do something, for God to be released, for the Father to be released. That's the background that's going on in this next statement. And verse 16, for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And for this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his Father and making himself equal with God. See, not only was he calling God his Father, but he was revealing who the Father really was. Because they had an assumption that the Father was not going to be pleased with this man. They had an assumption built into their understanding that said that the Father didn't want to have anything to do with this man, and that's why he continued to lay there impotent, not able to walk. But he said, I'm going to release my Father's heart in this moment. I'm going to release my Father's heart to this man. It's not about whether or not you sinned. It's not about about where you've been. But it's about what I want to release in you. I want to show you, and I'll show the world, who the Father really is. See, that's the nature of being a conduit. Showing the world who the Father is. Showing and representing who the Father is. And what he actually says right here, it says, truly, verse 19, the answer said, truly, truly, I tell you, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. In other words, all he was doing was echoing the thing that he was seeing. He echoed the love that the Father had for this man who the world would have thought was deliberately and intentionally lost. The world, their understanding was this man didn't deserve to be healed, is the reason he wasn't getting healed. And yet Jesus says, now I'm going to release the heart of the Father and let you see what my Father's heart is, even for this one who you say is just in sin. He's not affected by our sin. He's not stopped, and he's not laid back, and he's not kept away by our own issues. Now, sometimes we disqualify ourselves because of our issue, but he's not disqualifying you because of your issue. It's important for us to recognize that. It's important for us to recognize the grace of that. Hallelujah. So, with that kind of thought in mind, if you would, turn with me to Matthew 6. See, a conduit can come in many shapes and sizes. Some of them are good for crowd control. See, all that's necessary. All that's necessary to be a conduit is that there must be two ends to it, a place to receive and a place to release. You can receive and then you can release. But it takes both. You know, sometimes we can't receive and release because we allowed ourselves to get stopped up with something. You know, sometimes when it comes time to receive, it's just blocked off. And it won't receive. When we're blocked off and we won't receive, now whatever it was that the Father wanted to do in the earth doesn't get released. It's not because he didn't want to release. Just like for the impotent man laying at the pool of Bethesda, he wanted to release something on him, but he was making a list of excuses and he was blocking his own healing. Sometimes our own sin is what blocks us from receiving. Sometimes just our own unforgiveness is blocking from receiving. Sometimes a little bit of apathy instead of having some expectation is blocking us from receiving. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you allow something to get in between you and God, it doesn't matter what it is, it can block you from receiving. And as simple as something just like disappointment or hurt is, sometimes we feel very justified in our hurt. You know, legitimately, sometimes you've been hurt. But if you stay there in that place, you're blocking receiving. You're blocking the receiving when you allow something that's other than God to be in this place with you. So it doesn't matter what it might be, what it might look like in your particular life. Sometimes we can have these things, just simply pride can block us from receiving. I remember, and some of you remember Jerry Stitt, but I really honor him. And here's one of the reasons that I really honor him, because when Maxine passed away during all that time, her family was being really, really ugly to him. And he came to me, and he had been a minister for 40 years, and he came to me, and he was probably 75 years old at that point. And he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I need help. I need help because I know I have to forgive them, but I don't want to forgive them." And after I listened to him a while, I kind of agreed why you didn't want to forgive them. But we worked through the process of forgiving them. I had to forgive them too. Because how could you do this to this old couple? And how could you not be, you know, ugh. And so we worked through the forgiveness. But the deal was that what I honored about him was the humility that took. You know, we can get a lot and gain a lot with God through some humility. We gain a lot through some humility. He had to let go of all of his pride. He had to let go of all of his ministry credentials and say, "You know what? I've been trying to do this, but I can't get it by myself." And he let it be known, and God did some miracles. And interestingly enough, on, like, I believe it was his 81st or 82nd birthday, his continuing to forgive and continuing to love and continuing to set an example, that family threw him a birthday party, and everything came back together like it should have been. Because he stayed with it. Because he let the glory of God be shown into the situation, in spite of the fact that they didn't deserve it. So we have to be able to receive. In order to receive, we have to unblock. That's why we go to the throne of grace. See, all I'm doing is just describing the things that Pastor LaRue and Justin are walking you through. I'm just describing it from a different viewpoint. Because it's the same prayer. It's still coming up and coming into the throne of grace. It's still coming up and being seated with him, and then praying from a place of being seated with him and releasing into your target here. But you're releasing because you're in his presence, but at the same time you're releasing through your dominion, your authority in this earth. You have an authority here because you're walking, you're standing on this earth. You have an authority as you walk and stand on this earth that is connected to here, but you can also be connected with him. And when you're connected in both places, like we see Jesus being done and doing in John 3, now we're having the authority of heaven is coming through us as a conduit and being released. It takes both. It takes being open to receive and it takes being open to release. It's really hard to bless a stingy person. Hello. I didn't hear no claps and amens. I mean, you all should have been excited because y'all have liberal, generous hearts. Okay, so you should have been happy to hear that. Because if you're closed off to give, there's only so much can be stacked inside. You can only fill it so far, and then it's not going to have any more. And then after a while, that like the old manna will begin to stink. If you leave it there long enough, all stacked up. I mean, that's the difference. That's why a stream will never have a scum pond, like a scum pond where there's just scum all the way across it. Why? Because there's a flowing river. It's a flowing river. Hallelujah. Not every conduit has to be hollow. Okay? It just has to be conducive to the thing that's passing through it. It has to be agreeable to the thing that passes through it. See, this conduit will conduct electricity from one end to the other. You'd have a hard time pushing some water through here. If you pushed hard enough, you could probably get some water through here. But it's not made for that. See, we're not all alike. We all have different kinds of conduits in this room. Okay? Sometimes your conduit is a little different than another conduit, but this conduit is going to take a higher voltage than the other conduit. It's going to bring a little shock to it. It's going to bring a little sharpness to it. It's going to bring some power with it. But you have to allow the conduit. The conduit describes what can pass through it. But it still has to be open on both ends. It has to have a receiver. It has to have a place to release. Some conduits are made to communicate. Like between two people.
Hello. This is Moses.
See, some conduits are made to communicate. Now, if that conduit is communicating between two nations, they call that an ambassador. See, when you're communicating the voice of heaven into this earth, guess what? You just became an ambassador. Now, sometimes when you're communicating between nations, they call that, you know, when some conduits between two nations might be, you know, like a gun runner, but that's a whole nother thing. So we'll deal with that later. But it's a matter of what is this conduit for? See, this conduit has a different shape. This conduit has a different purpose. This conduit can be move quantities of water, or it could be moving, quantities of electrical components. It could move quantities of air. The conduit is part of the picture, but also the need is part of the picture. What does the Father need to be moved from one place to another? That tells you what conduit he's going to pick. Because, see, the Father's need in one situation is not necessarily the same as his need in another situation. So he's going to pick the conduit that's going to be most appropriate to the thing that's being moved and to the place that it needs to go to what needs to be moved and what needs to be where it needs to go. But in all cases, the conduit has to be agreeable to something being moved through it. If it's not agreeable to what's being moved through it, then nothing's going to happen. Exactly. Keep it moving. This is why the Lord's Prayer, I had you guys turn to the Lord's Prayer last time and I went to John 17, which I think is really the Lord's Prayer. But this is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I see this different now. I see this different. And see, there's no communication when the top is still in place. As much as I wanted to drink, it wasn't going to happen until the top was removed. But verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. See, that's the key right there. And what this actually is, it's your intercession to become a conduit. It's your intercession. He's instructing you how to intercede so you can become a conduit. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And see, when we rise up and we begin to come into unity with Him, and we step into this place with Him, and we begin to see the Lord Jesus as in our prayer, and we begin to have this inhabitation with Him, where we're becoming one. And in that place of oneness, you begin to understand His will. And in that place of oneness, now His will becomes your will. And as His will becomes your will, now that will can actually be released through you because it becomes agreeable to you. When it becomes agreeable to you, now all of a sudden, it's being released into this earth. Because He created you, Tim, with an authority here. He created you with an authority here. He created you to make a difference to somebody, Robin. He created you so that you can come and have the heart of God be released through you and into a situation that you're near. He doesn't need to call somebody from South Africa to touch somebody that you can reach over and touch right here. I mean, I'm glad for those guys who come from, you know, and they're prophets and they're coming out of another nation. That's great. But you know what? That's actually an indictment on us because we should have been stepping up and said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll get up and I'll go out and I'll say it for you. He shouldn't have to call somebody from some other place to come to talk to somebody who's right in front of you. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know, I mean, I've watched Sharon. I mean, she doesn't go anywhere that she doesn't talk to the people. I mean, we would go out to eat when I worked with her. We'd go out to eat and the group of us are there and everybody's trying to get into the restaurant except Sharon. She's over there talking to somebody who just came out. She's going to make sure they get saved before they get out across the parking lot. Why? Because that's her heart. Okay? Because God is using the conduit. The rest of us were trying to eat. I'm good on a lot of things, but when it's time to eat. Hallelujah. You know, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but it also means it's His good pleasure to give the one next to you the kingdom too. Amen. It's still His good pleasure to give this one the kingdom and this one the kingdom and this one the kingdom and this one the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. Why? And all He's looking for, now all He's looking for is just a vessel to give it through. Let's show somebody some kingdom. Just like the man, do you think the man at the pool of Bethesda, you think he went out and sinned again? The Lord told him not to. I think that once I'd been set free, I was going to stay free. I was going to stay free. You know, God set me so free. He set me free. And You know, some people ask me simple things like, why don't you drink? Well, it's okay. Just have a beer. We're at the game. Just have a beer. I don't need to, because he set me free. And to me, that's more important. It wouldn't hurt me to do that. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell for doing that. I'm just saying that for me, the important thing is he set me free. And that is my honor unto him, is to leave it that way. Amen. I don't know why I said all that, but anyway. Glory to God. That was not anything that I thought about earlier. So, all right. But see, thy will be done changes your perspective. When we start interceding for his will to be done, it changes our perspective. Remember, I talked about sometimes those things, there are things that are blocking you from receiving. One of those things that blocks you from receiving is just simply your anger or your frustration. Hello? I didn't hear anything. Yeah, my mic's still working. Come on. Let me just be real honest with you. Don't be disappointed. But the other day I was working on something on the computer, and see, I had one goal. I had one goal. My goal was just to get finished with it as quickly as I could, get on to doing something I wanted to do, because I didn't want to do this. And I became so frustrated. And nothing was working. It was just like, it was just, everything I tried to do required one more step somewhere else. And I had to go do that. And then I had to go do another thing. And it's like, are you kidding me? Why do they make this a circus? Why couldn't they just tell me how to get to the end? Yes. And so in this process, I had to stop. And just as I stopped, I caught myself. I said, you know, this frustration is a sign that God's not here. And so I want God to be here. I'm going to have to acknowledge him for a moment. And so I stopped and acknowledged him. And he just said, just simply change your goal. He said, let your goal be to learn as much as you can possibly learn in this situation. And as soon as I changed my goal to where I was just going to learn as much about it as I could in that moment, everything went smooth. No more frustration. Frustration was instantly gone. See, sometimes when our goal is being blocked, that's the thing that's causing us to anger. Why? Because we have a goal that we can't reach. We can see it, but we can't reach it. We can't get to it. And as long as we're pursuing a goal and we're not actually pursuing God, we step out of our place with him. Now, translate that. Let's translate that into, like, when I remember when the Lord spoke to me. Because, see, I used to drive all the way down into the down into the Galleria area every day. And as I was driving, you know, people cut you off. You're trying to ride somebody's bumper because you might get by them if they dart it and it gives you enough room to squeeze through. And doing all those things, and all you're doing is elevating your blood pressure. but all these people then become people who are blocking your goal. They're blocking your goal. The only reason the traffic bothers you is because you have a goal to get to point B. And as long as you let that be your deciding factor, anybody who gets between you and point B is going to get your wrath. But here's the thing. The Lord asked me, I want you to pray for those who are around you. See, when our goal becomes to see the other person and what their need is, and to be Father, be God and Christ-like to them, now it changes my whole game. I'm no longer trying to just reach my goal. I'm trying to be Christ-like. And if I'm trying to be Christ-like, I'm not all up on your tail, all getting honking and beeping and trying to get by. There might be a reason I was over here. Was there a reason I was over here? So what the Lord asked me to do, he said, I want you to pray for those people. I don't want you to fill their car. I said, I want you to fill the cab of their car with my presence. And I want you to just speak and just release my presence. And especially if they pass you, I want you to actually increase that. I'll increase that prayer. So everybody who went past me now became a victim for it because I was going to fill their car with the presence and the peace of God. And because until I could, and I would pray for them until I felt a release. Because I would want, because now my goal became how much of God can I release on my way to work? And the interesting thing was, I no longer was angry with these people. I was no longer frustrated. I was no longer even worried whether or not I got to work. And I got to work every time, on time, like I was supposed to. Because see, God, God's releasing the kingdom for you too. But he's releasing the kingdom for them. And if I quit seeing somebody else as my enemy and I start seeing them as somebody God wants to release the kingdom on, now I have an alignment with heaven. And when I did, and I'd been doing that for 2 months, and this was when I was still at Bread. And so I'd been doing that for 2 months. And as I was doing this, basically, one day I just went, Lord, why am I even doing this? You know, sometimes you just, you know, you can't, because that's not a prayer that you can see the result of right now. That's not a prayer you have any knowledge of what's going to happen. You're doing it because he said to do it. And so now I let it go. And I said, Lord, why am I even doing this? And that night, I went to church, and this lady gets up there, and she said, at 8 o'clock this morning, I was at 610 and 290, and the peace of God just flooded my car. And it came in such a way that I had to pull off the side of the road and get right with God. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to stay with it. And it was everything that I had prayed. Why? Because now we're aligned with heaven. Now we're becoming a conduit. Now God's been using, he was using me as a conduit. See, that was my original prayer when I got saved. I didn't know how to get saved. I just said, Lord, make me a conduit of your love. He started answering that before I even understood what he was doing. He wants to make you a conduit. He wants to make you a conduit. Why? Because there's a whole lot of heaven that has to come into a whole lot of earth. And there's a whole lot of heaven that needs to be moved, and he needs some willing vessels to allow it, and who will allow the, and to be agreeable to the flow of heaven coming through them. Who will be agreeable to the victory of heaven being released into this earth. Who will be agreeable to the peace of heaven being released in this earth. Who will be agreeable to the purpose of heaven being released into this earth. And he's looking for those who will allow themselves to be used and release something in this earth. Hallelujah. Shanda. Shanda. See, Philippians 2 tells us this. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, God's not just looking. Jesus was the first conduit. Actually, he probably wasn't even the first. He was the best, but he wasn't the first. But see, the Lord's actually looking for all of us to be that same conduit. The same things he said, Jesus said, the same thing, the things that I do, you'll do greater. That means if I'm being a conduit, you're going to be a greater conduit. The Lord says here in Philippians 2 that it's the Lord who's at work in you to will and to do. He's releasing something through you. He's the one who has an object and he has something that he wants released, and he's just looking for a vessel who will allow it to happen. Hallelujah. changes our perspective. See, when he says he will and do, that's receiving. In other words, when our will is aligned with his will, now we're in receiving mode. And to do, that's when we're releasing. That word to do means, is the word energeo. And what that means is, it's like where you get the energy, the word energy from. So in other words, the little energizer bunny, he comes from that word. So when there's a release of something, there's a release of power that happens. Why? Because you allow yourself to be conduit. Because you're allowing the conduit to be agreeable to the will of the Father. Hallelujah. So in working you for his good pleasure. He's going to work in you for his good pleasure. You know what that's going to mean? That's going to look like? That's going to look like denying yourself. Luke 9:23. If you think that you're going to connect with heaven and release something into this earth and you're going to remain the same, you got another thing coming. Got another thing coming. You got something. Yeah, I can't go by you now. Hallelujah. Because he wants to release something in this earth, and he wants to do it, but it's going to require that we change a little bit about something in us. It's going to require, because you know, when we start coming into contact with heaven, we're going to have to get heaven's understanding about who we are. We're going to have to get heaven's understanding about how much he loves us. We're going to have to get heaven's understanding about how he's called us and what he wants to do for us and through us. But we have to get in line with that that's going on in heaven. Because when you ascend and you get to sit with him, it's not just a place of rest. It's also a place of being energized for the task ahead. It's a place of being empowered for the journey that you're about to be going on. It's in a place where the thing that comes into you is now been supercharged so it can be released through you. That's what's happening. Because see, when we come into contact with God, it's impossible to come into contact with God and not be changed. It's impossible to come into contact with him and not have the whole service, the circle around us be affected. Your whole attitude gets aligned in that. Your heart gets aligned in that. Now, because your attitude and your heart got aligned, now your purpose can actually be realized and released. Because a lot of things, the only thing that's keeping us from becoming who we're supposed to become is a lot right up here. It's this thing up here that we keep allowing to tell us stuff that's not true. To tell us stuff that's not in alignment with what God had. If I set my sight, my eyes on him, now I'm in a place where there's something to be released. If I have my heart set on him, I'm now in a place where I can begin to perceive my value, because until I perceive my value, I can't actually release what's truly needed to be released through me. Why? Because the lack of valuing yourself is going to make sure you keep some portion of you stopped up. Hello? We got to be agreeable with the substance being moved. We got to be agreeable with being conformed to his image. We got to be agreeable with seeing his from his perspective and letting go of our own understanding of wisdom. Hello? I've seen what I can do. I love that Greg used to always say this. I've seen what I can do and I'm not impressed. Okay? But when I see what God can do, when I see what God can do, now that's a whole nother thing. But that means I have to let go of that which is familiar. I have to let go of that which is comfortable. I have to let go of the things that I've been used to so that I can grasp and get a hold of His wisdom for the situation so I can do it differently. Otherwise, I'm going to continually block myself, not because I intended to, but simply because I kept holding on to the old instead of grabbing for what was new. As long as you're holding on to the old, it's going to hold you back. But when you grab a hold of the new, it takes you with it wherever it's supposed to go. Glory to God. Now I have a place to release from. Hallelujah. So let's give up our wisdom and employ His. Do with me one more. Let's go to Zechariah 3 because I think this will tie everything together. I love Zechariah. Zechariah was the first book of the Bible I ever read as a whole book. Pastor said, read the book of Nehemiah for the next week. I couldn't find Nehemiah, but I found Zechariah, and I thought, that's close enough. So I read Zechariah. I didn't know I was stepping into a prophetic atmosphere that was going to change my life. I had no idea. It was just pure ignorance that I wound up in Zechariah, but it was something that was going to form something that changed everything about who I am. You know, sometimes in our ignorance, we can accomplish more than we can with the best played plan that we could come up with. It's a true story. True story. Hallelujah. Joshua, he's talking to Joshua here, and Joshua represents the priest, who also, in this particular king, will also represent the king a little bit later on. But he says here, thus says the Lord, verse 7 of Zechariah 3, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways. If you will walk in my ways. That sounds a little bit like, if you'll come up with me. You'll come visit with me. You come habitate with me. And if you will perform my service, in other words, if you'll let your will become my will. Then you will govern my house and have charge over my courts. And I will grant you free access here among those who stand here. I will grant you free access among those who stand here. I believe this is what He's calling us to do. And He's calling us to stand in both places, to stand with Him. Because we're aligning our hearts with Him, there's an energizing of who we are. And as we energize who we are in Him, as we begin to stand with Him and come into agreement and agree in alignment with Him, now we can utilize the authority He has given us in this earth. And we can release from heaven to earth and we can see things happen. We can see things happen. Because why? Because it's no longer you. It's no longer about you. You know, you thought you were all that, but it's no longer about you. It's about Him. And when it becomes about Him, now there's a purity that can be released that just shifts atmospheres and generations. It's important for you to understand. Somebody online needs to understand. It's shifting atmospheres and generations. Why? Because you're in alignment with heaven, and heaven doesn't know time. Heaven has no time. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all the same in heaven, and He will shift the generations as are needed in that moment. Hallelujah. Because why? We don't have to be confined by the things that we've been confined by in the past. We can stand with an assurance that He is there to bring about the release of the kingdom in your life. It's His good pleasure. It was His good pleasure to call you from orphans into children of God. It was His good pleasure to align you. And it's His good pleasure to release the kingdom through you because why? You became a willing vessel. You became a living conduit. Every prayer that we release, Tuesday, just the atmosphere was so alive. It was so alive as the people were circling and praying and just releasing and declaring out of the place of heaven. We've done the things where you circle and just, you know, you circle and say prayers. This was different. This was different. It was alive in a way that I've not seen live. It's going to change hearts, lives, destinies. That's the thing that we're looking for. Let's see the kingdom of heaven being released in the earth. Hallelujah. Did you say that you had something? No? Or were you just being... Okay. All right. I wanted to give you an opportunity in case that was. Conformed to his image. When we make our goal to exemplify love, when my goal is to exemplify love, now that just means that I've just removed the objects from me that frustrate me. Now it makes it means that when things don't go the way you think, but if my goal is to exemplify love, it doesn't matter whether the other thing gets accomplished or not. And I guarantee you, what you'll find is just like what I find when I make an offering, the 90 goes farther than the 100. I find that the 80 goes farther than the 100. It doesn't matter. What you'll see is that as you allow yourself to exemplify love, if you make that your goal, it releases all the pressure. And the other thing that was irritating or frustrating or angering no longer has the same framework to work from, because we've just stripped it and now we're declaring love over it and releasing it. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Y'all have been attentive. That's awesome. No, Justin didn't fall asleep. I'm excited. Glory to God.